And he does seem to get those right around the net. He buried it and didn't make any mistake on that one.
Well, and good for Tyler. And, you know, as much as I see improvement in one of their players, Nate Arntz, I see a ton of improvement in Tyler Hayden. He's playing so much more urgency and strength and conviction, I guess would be a good word. And you know, he's getting rewarded by some goals, too. I think Tyler had two goals all of last year. They were early in the year against Notre Dame, and he's up to four already. So he's more than doubled that total, and we're still early in the year. So good for Tyler, and like I said, as much as he's playing well offensively, his defensive game's come around too. But big goal late in the period gets us even, gets us out of that second period, and that's what your power play is supposed to do. And we talk about this, Dirk, and to me, I'm you know, everybody likes to look at the stats and their power play percentage and all that. Well, to me, it's when you're getting your chances on the power play and scoring. For example, they get one in the last 2 minutes of Saturday's game, last right. 3 minutes. Like, I don't care if you've gone 0-for-8, but when a tie game or you're down by a goal, that's when you need to score a big goal. And this is a big goal for us. We're down by a goal late in the period. We score a big power play goal, and that sort of sets the stage for the third period.
2-2 going into the third period. Shots in the second, very even, 11-9 in favor of BSU. We go into the third period, and we get a big goal early on, and this was a pretty one for the Michigan Tech hockey team.
Lori Ward trying to maintain possession. His pass broken up, and here come the Huskies now. As Batan coming across for Roy. Roy to the front of the net. Slips it there for Carroll. In front, scores! Carroll to Batan! And a great pass by Roy. And the Huskies get their first lead of the game. 3-2. Just 45 seconds in to period number three.
Well, a great goal. Pretty goal. And how important was that to get that early, Coach?
Well, it's good to finally get the lead. And I thought we had a really good third period, especially up until we took the penalty. I thought we were the better team in the third period. I thought we established ourselves. Well, it started to show in the second period. I thought we had a much better forecheck in the second period. We were skating. We finally had found our skating legs after all weekend. And that's one sign to me that our team's in good shape. And Tyler Shalas has done a good job with strength and conditioning because, you know, we had some energy there in that second period. You know, on a Saturday night after a long you know, really, it's been a long year. We got a lot of bumps and bruises. We've had a lot of travel. You know, it's Saturday night after playing a tough, physical, grinding game, the first night, a close game, and here you are all of a sudden Saturday. I thought we took it up another notch on Saturday in the second period, and then we did in the third period, that first 10 minutes. I mean, I thought our team was really skating and looking good. But that's a huge goal. What a great play. I mean, you can see Matt Roy jumping up in the play. I like the no touch. Like I said, that goal you could have put in, Dirk. Even, I don't know, what way do you shoot?
I'm a left-hander.
You could have put that one in right-handed. So,
no offense.
I mean, just the way the play was made.
but what a great play by Roy. His first point as a Husky. For those who didn't see the goal, he slipped it between his legs, back between his legs to drop it there for Tanner. Tanner then reached around the defender or reached around to just lay it out there with a one-handed pass. And, I mean, everything went right for Michigan Tech.
Well, it did, but it shows the creativeness of the players. And I think you have to go to the website to look at that goal.
Yeah.
And I know the NCAA puts out a top five goals usually every week. I know that one will be on there. So
it's
just a
this,
tremendous play.
Was Batan at the end of a shift there? Because it looked like the normal Alex Batan, if with a lot of gas in the tank, yet would have been able to take that in himself.
On a breakaway,
on a breakaway.
Yeah. We had good coverage in our zone at the at our blue line, and they got caught. And yeah, Alex read the play, but he just didn't have enough gas in the tank to really make that burst to get down there. And I give Tanner and Matt Roy a lot of credit for reading the situation and jumping up in the play. And like I said, big goal and good for Alex. I thought that line, like I said, Tanner and Alex had a really good weekend with Brent Baltus. But having said that, after the first period, we made a change on Saturday. We changed all the lines. I don't know if you...
Oh, right away we noticed. Yeah.
You noticed? Yeah.
Right away we noticed. David Johnston was off of that line and switched things up.
Yeah, we put Baltus up with Blake Pietola and Reed Sturos, and then we put Malcolm Gould with Tanner and Alex Batan. I thought that line was outstanding.
Yes.
And then David went down with Tyler Hainanen and Michael Neville, and I thought they were really good. And then we inserted Blake Pietola in... along with Dylan Stamen and CJ Eichen, I thought that line was a good solid line. And you know, Blake Hiela comes in on the power play, and I think he picked up an assist on that goal. So good for him. So well, I guess he didn't, but he was part of the play. So
yeah, well, he got the assist on the Reed Sturrow's goal, though.
Yeah, which is good. So anyway, it's nice to be able to plug guys in, and we talked about that all the time. But yeah, we showed good energy, and like I said, a lot of credit goes out to Tyler Shalast.
Okay, so we're up to, by a goal, and there's the minutes are seconds are counting down, and we get the here's the penalty against Riley Sweeney. Again, another pop up from Bemidji State. He grasps the puck, holds on, and the whistle sounds, and all of a sudden, delay of game is called.
Yeah, and before that, Mike Neville took one about the 11-minute mark, took a penalty, and just on an urgency play, like he gets the puck a lot of time, and instead of having that little urgency, he's just too relaxed. They strip it, he's got to take a hooking penalty. So we got through that one. So that's and those are huge. I mean, because you get a one goal lead, they're going on the power play with 10 minutes to go in the game. We get through that one. And I thought, you know, we're playing solid. I mean, they were starting to push back a little bit after Neville's penalty. You know, it gave them a little bit of life and a little momentum. And, you know, but we weathered the storm. I thought we were playing real well. And then we'll call it the incident happens.
All right. So the puck is flipped up in the air and Riley Sweeney holds on to it. Again, going back to the night before, Riley wasn't able to corral that and they ended up scoring on that one. So he held on to it this time, which he has done before. It's usually just a whistle and a face up back in our zone.
Yeah.
And they call it delay a game on the call, and obviously there was some explanation given to you and both coaches on that play.
Well, here's what happened. So Riley's skating backwards like the defensemen are, and they try to, like I said, they try to flip it off the glass behind him and beat our players to the puck because they're skating forward, full out with speed. So, yeah, they flip it out. It's right about our blue line. Riley catches it, and he's sort of – and then he just skates and holds it against the boards, but he's got it in his hand. And the whistle goes, you know, and I see the linesman talking to the referee, and I didn't see the puck at first, so I thought he might have just grabbed it and threw it over the out of play, which would be a delay of game. Mm-hmm. But it turns out he's got it in his hand, and then he just drops it on the ice. In college hockey, you can close your hand on the puck, so you can grab it. Now, you can't throw it or, you know, which he doesn't. He just grabs it and holds it. In college hockey, that's an automatic whistle when you close your hand on the puck. It's automatic whistle. Just the way the rules are. I mean, I wish I had the rule book and, you know, I'd read it. In the NHL, National Hockey League, if you close your hand on the puck like that, that's an automatic penalty for delay of game. So my deal is I'm trying to get the ref's attention. It's not a penalty in college hockey. I'm telling them to look at the rule book because you have a rule book there in the penalty box. Like if you don't know the rule, look at the rule book at least. Just look at it. And they're saying, well, so the explanation was me. It's delay a game penalty. He grabbed the puck in his hand and started to skate around with it. That's exactly what the ref told me. You know, he started to skate around with it. My comment to him was, as soon as you close your hand on the puck, it's an automatic whistle. Automatic, so you can't skate around with the puck. I mean, it's supposed to be just like when a player's helmet comes off, automatic whistle. Goalie's mask comes off, automatic whistle. You don't let the play go on for a while, and then he can put his mask. I mean, it's an automatic whistle. There's certain things that are automatic, and that's an automatic whistle. And that's why I was so upset, because we've been coaching our defensemen to do that in this series, because it is such a hard play when you've got people coming right. It's almost like a punt in football.
Exactly like a punt.
If you didn't have a fair catch, you know, and the guy's got to catch the ball. That's what this is like in hockey, and you're really putting a defenseman in a bad situation. So we tell him, just grab it, just hold on to it. We'll take the face off, and just now I will go back and say those two referees, I would like to have them every weekend that we play. I would take them every weekend. They're that good, and I respect them that much. I would really like to have them every game that we play. It's just it's his interpretation of, you know, I still don't understand it when it's that clear, so obviously. But I thought the linesman said something to him, and you know, I thought maybe he threw the puck out, but that wasn't the case. So anyway, tough call.
So we got a penalty.
We get a penalty with 2.5 minutes left in the one-goal hockey game. And, you know, they're pulling their goalie, and it's going to be 6-on-4, and things are going to be a little crazy.
Well, it was crazy, but we held them off, and we get the empty net goal as Tanner Carroll ends the scoring on an empty net goal at the 1941 mark.
Trying to find a way to get it out. Tanner Carroll does and clears the zone. 25 seconds left to go. We're back to 5-on-5 hockey. Carroll with an open net. She scores! Tanner Carroll with the goal will seal the deal for the Huskies. With 19.7 seconds remaining in the third period, the empty net goal makes it a 4-2 score, and the Huskies.